Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 228. I'm Josiah at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. I'm back one more week to talk a bunch of pop culture, a little bit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, and just some news and up-to-date stuff, some bullet points. Let's hit it. We're going to start off the way we normally do, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 128, Adam and I hashtagged this one, Rod of Steel. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain are back to chat. What the fuck news? Teen blinded after duct tape challenge. Okay, this one was an odd one. I guess a weird thing that kids were doing. I guess the Tide Pod challenge is a thing. Like, let's fuck each other. Like, how can we die the fastest type of deal was what this one kind of was too. So you literally duct tape your friend from, you know, wrap their fucking feet all the way to their knees, you know, their ankles to their fucking calves, knees, thighs, their hands to their sides, their arms, like a mummy. And the weight and the balance and fucking the loss of pressure of blood circulating to the head. One kid in particular, I guess, ate shit, lost his balance, fell down, and the way he bumped his head, it wasn't just like concussion, it was just like fully lost his fucking, his sight. So, crazy shit, dude. And Tide Pod talent. Okay, fuck me. Tide Pod fucking challenge. Okay, I don't know how the fuck that threw me off. Okay, look, guys. I'm normally good at editing and lately doing everything by myself. I've been editing a lot. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I was going to edit that out. And I'm like, let me find the right spot to fucking cut. And I'm like, this is so bad. Like, it's terrible. I don't want anyone to hear this and playing it back. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I want to pull the fucking curtains back a little bit. The editing process, it fucking blows. I really enjoy how RG can now see all the work that goes behind it. Like, it's legit work. And the editing, the shit that's left on our editing floor, the cutting room floor, is a lot of golden shit where we are laughing as I'm playing it back. And I'm like, he's like, well, what are you doing? And he's getting to learn the editing process, just like I had to learn. He's catching on to it. And it's a fucking thing. And he's like, dude, keep that. I'm like, dude, no. I sound like I just had a fucking stroke. He's not here to encourage me in that. But I really want to know, listeners, let me know how you guys feel about it. Like, part of the show, like, I want to do an end of the year thing and just have, like, a montage of all the outtakes. Like, is it something you guys would listen to? Like, you guys don't have to. I don't know how long it's going to take. It's going to be probably longer than a fucking regular show, which is, like, fucking half an hour to 45 minutes. So you're going to have 2 hours of just outtakes of just me butchering words like that, or sentences, and RG busting stupid shit, and butchering words and sentences and thoughts. Is it something you guys would want to fucking listen to? Like, hopefully that made you laugh. Like, I seriously cracked myself up, and I've told one of my friends, like, one of my ideas about that, and she's like, you know what? It kind of sounds cool. Like, you mean you haven't been banking those up? And I'm like, no, I really haven't. So yeah, that's behind the curtain. Sorry to go off on that tangent, guys. That completely threw me off. And five fucking Tide Pod fucking challenge. Hashtag fuck my life. Okay, we also hit, oh my god, Dallas worried about city's reputation. Bans erotica convention. We hit five foods that fight erectile dysfunction. And drunk Chinese man kicks elevator doors in and falls down shaft. This is actually a fucking hilarious story. Like, I don't know if homeboy was drunk, but he's at a hotel or something, and he starts, like, sidekicking, hi-ya, 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 this fucking elevator. And it gets little by little, it's, like, cracking open. And I guess it was finally the elevator's time to open, but homeboy was kicking it for so long. There was no fucking elevator there when the shaft fucking opened up. And he goes for this, like, super fucking sidekick roundhouse. He fucking, it was stupid. But the video I think we played too was just, anyways. We hit Comic Talk, Comic News, Daredevil, Netflix Talk, Deadpool Talk, Comic Views. We hit Dark and Bloody number one from Vertigo,
Comics Vertigo. We hit low number 11 from Image Comics. We hit The Amazing Spider-Man number 1, which is a throwback from 1999. That one I'm curious about. I don't know who reviewed that one, if it was Adam or myself. I'm pretty sure it might have been Adam, but we would always shoot back and forth. Next one we hit was Harrow County number 9 from Dark Horse. We hit All New Hawkeye number 4, which was from Marvel Book of the Week, and Descender number 10 from Image Comics, which was also Book of the Week. All right, guys, that's what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. That's the longest I've spoken about what we spoke about because, my God, I'm off today, guys, and I hope I'm making you guys laugh already. 5 bullet points I'm going to hit real quick is a lot of things, dude. Okay, so it's going to be mainly bullet points, and I've been going back and forth with Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes is my next side project, my baby project that RG and I have created. We own it, and we're having fun rocking these out. So I guess the first thing I'm going to hit is talking about soft launch and launch dates for that. We have a bunch of episodes banked up you guys don't even know. We're so far ahead where it's like, you know what, let's just toss these ones out and at least, you know, give it its own breath of air type of deal. So let's move it over already. Let's start the website for that. Let's, you know, open up our site. Essentially is what it is to just, and, you know, people now start typing in Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. Find that podcast as opposed to you guys can find Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes at the Comic Syndicate as opposed to that. So again, everyone that's been digging on that podcast, find those social media sites, please. Find at Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes anywhere. Hashtag Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. We want you guys to start subscribing and following us and sharing those links if you guys can't, if you guys are digging on them. I'm going to go over a few things, how the wheels have been turning on that podcast. And I'm able to see the numbers, and I don't think I've shown RG the numbers. I just want to be its own separate thing and entity, finally. So if you guys can understand that, my listeners from the Comic Syndicate, and again, don't want to call you listeners, but yeah, audience, my audience for the Comic Syndicate, you guys are helping the Comic Syndicate grow again, and it's creating Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, which is just a fun one to be doing with someone else, finally. So I'm definitely going to give more information on the exact launch date and where to subscribe. I'm going to let you guys know social media and Facebook and everything. I'm going to toss it out just so you guys can know, okay, I'm not into pulp culture. I like Josias because he's a funny dude, somehow Solo. But I miss his boy, Adam. Trust me, I fucking miss my boy, Adam, before any of you guys. So, dude, so if I get you to laugh at, you guys do listen to the Comic Syndicate. I appreciate the fuck out of you guys. That if you guys want more funny, I can be funnier with someone so that my boy RG is able to be there with me for that. I'm loving it, and it's we're able to be creative, and that's what I need a lot of in my life right now, so just that we're able to start something up again, that we're able to do that. But it just needs to be its own, and it deserves to be its own thing. So one more time, just want to thank all the listeners for all the feedback, all the topic ideas. You guys do hit us up about everything. You guys give us topics. You guys drop comments. You guys have been making me laugh back on what you guys have to say in return. And in all honesty, I wish the feedback I could get. I get back to you guys. You guys do know that. But as far as questions and questions on top of questions is really weird. And I'm going to explain that as far as the feedback goes. We want anyone and everyone to be able to jump on board at any moment without them feeling, the listeners, the new listener. And this is the way I'm approaching this one. At any moment, any new listener, without them feeling like they're missing out on something because, I had to have listened to this and that to get this. No, I'm using the old Stan Lee theory where look at it like every episode, I guess every issue, what he would say, is somebody else's first time experiencing it or reading it or listening to it. So I don't want anyone to feel like, again, they're missing out on something because they're really not missing out on anything. So, for example, I love you guys. You guys know who you are. And we put up a Twitter poll for Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes a few weeks ago, I think, last week. Anyways, this is at Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, episode 226.1, hashtag sellout, at RG Flores and at For the Villain, discuss the use, misuse of cell phone abuse and ask, how do you use your cell phone mainly or the most? The options were phone for family strictly. Number two option was music / podcast / news, second choice. Third choice was social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And final option was D, instant gratification. Of course, D would be for instant gratification. But here are the fucking numbers that we got off of this fucking poll. Phone for family strictly. 5% of everyone that voted said it was for strictly for family. Not a bad thing. B, we hit music, podcast, news, hit 47% of people said they used, that's how they mainly use their phone. So I put it up on the Comic Syndicate and I answered at For the Villain, but that's the way I use fucking my phone. Like, granted, social media, but no, it's not mainly for social media. Like, I mainly use social media now. It's to plug the Comic Syndicate and Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes and shit I care about and people that I catch, my friends on there. And you guys are my fucking friends, so technically you guys. Again, sorry to you guys, but that's not the main reason for using it. Option D, instant gratification, whether that would lead to anything. 5% of people, that's how they use their phone. So I thought that was an interesting one. Now, again, so Arjun, I spoke about this one. Fuck me, Arjun, when did we talk about that? Maybe last episode? Episode 226.1, maybe? But the fact that if we were to toss something out on Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, it would pull away from the thought process or theory that I have for it. And again, I want especially more people to jump on board there. And just every listener, you can be a fresh start person, and then you can deep dive our deep dives and jump into any episode at any given fucking moment and not be lost and be like, you know what, this just sounds interesting. Okay, that's all I got for that. So we're going to send the links and everything. Just follow us at Deep Dives everywhere you guys can, honestly. Find us. We're striving. We're coming up. We're popping up in more places. Last thing I'm going to go back to the Comic Syndicate is drop how the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League is now filled up. And we had our draft on Saturday. I love the fuck out of this crew. The fact that so many of you guys wanted to jump back on board again, and the chat room now is like opening up and you guys are getting more comfortable again. Yeah, I know it takes time to reacclimate. Fuck me, I'm butchering everything today. It takes everyone time to reacclimate to, I haven't spoken to you in a year, literally, it feels like. And that everyone's little by little is going to start getting comfortable and busting each other's balls and give each other some shit, and yeah, and it's football, and we love the fuck out of it, and we're able to have fun. So this is the crew we have. We have David, we have Sadie, Bobby, we have Rick, we have Christian, we have Paul, we have Alan from the 2OC, we have RG from the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, and we have Gabe, happy belated birthday, and myself. So best luck to all of you gentlemen, really, and let's just kick some fucking ass. Let's have fun. Football season is back, and I love the fuck out of it. Okay, guys, I'm fucking beat from that intro. That's all I got. You guys can find me at For the Villain on Twitter, at @comic_syndicate on Instagram. I hope I'm making you guys laugh because I'm just going with the flow tonight and it feels good. So fuck it. Let's rock it. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
If you know me, you love me. And if you hate me, you really hate me. Oh my gosh, this episode, I'm so sorry, guys. All right, let's hit it. Dude, I got some comic news. A Quiet Place Sequel lands 2020 release date. I loved the fuck out of this movie. It's worth watching. If you guys haven't seen it, it's dope. It's nicely, greatly written, honestly. It's directed by Krasinski, John Krasinski, and it's a great fucking movie. The suspense, it's not a horror film. Like, I wouldn't consider it a horror movie. It's suspenseful for sure, but I'm worth checking out. I'm jazzed about it already. Next one's going to be Star Wars Land Cantina will let you order booze at Disneyland. Currently, the only place you can drink at Disneyland in actually California is going to be at Downtown Disney. Well, I'm sorry, California Adventure, which isn't a bad thing. Like, I understand why, but that it's a legit cantina that they're going to change up their theme a bit, I guess, on that is interesting. Still on Disney is going to be Incredibles 2, his first animated movie to gross $600 million domestically. Disney Pixar's Incredibles 2 has become the highest earning animated film of all time in North American box office. Next one is going to be odd, talking about Homeboy I spoke about last week. Steve Guttenberg says a new Police Academy movie is on the way. Oh my gosh, 24 years after the previous installment of the comedy franchise. Do we need it, guys? Like, who? Like, they're going to be on walkers now. Like, I don't know if we need it. He was a big guy. He was a big – he wasn't even big in the 80s. Sorry, Mr. Steve Guttenberg. But, yeah, I'm going to ask you for an interview, sir, if you don't mind. Next one's going to be from Marvel straight up. Avengers 4 directors reveal when the film will be finished. Here's some interesting one. Directors Joe and Anthony Russo tease there's still more work to be done on Avengers 4, but reveal when they expect to finish the movie. With Avengers 4 undergoing reshoots, the Russo brothers told Deadline that work will continue throughout the rest of this year, with completion targeted for March 2019. We hope to be done by March, Anthony Russo said. It was so gratifying that in a movie with this scope and scale, that wide of an audience, that we were able to end with a gut punch, and yet the audience stayed with us and found value and kept coming back. So yes, I loved the fuck out of that one. This one's going to be interesting. Captain Marvel unveils first official image, Brie Larson in costume. And if you guys have been seeing that on Twitter, Instagram, any social media today, like I guess Entertainment Magazine, they did an article about her. So they put a bunch of pictures of the Skrulls. They put pictures of her in different scenes and different, you know, in the costume. So I'm really curious about it, how they're going to go about it. Next one's going to be Alec Baldwin boards Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie. Oh, so we're going to DC. Sorry about that, guys. Next one's going to be The Flash movie won't shoot until at least 2019. Iris West actor confirms. I don't know if I have faith for that. I love The Flash, but I don't know if I have faith for my boy Jason Momoa and Aquaman, and I love Aquaman. Next one's going to be DC Universe announces launch date for Titans live action series. The DC Universe streaming subscription service has announced its Titans live action series will debut on the platform on October 12th. The DC Universe streaming subscription service has announced its Titans live action series will debut on the platform on October 12th. This news comes on the heels of the service also announcing that it will launch in September 15th, or on September 15th, which also happens to be Batman Day, just to let you guys know. Go to your comic book stores, and I'm pretty sure you're going to see nothing but Batman stuff. Ooh, so next week for me. Next one's going to be Swamp Thing, Underworld. Director will reportedly helm pilot episode. I did enjoy Underworld, so I'm kind of down, dude. I love the Swamp Thing, so I'm fucking on board for that, yeah. Okay, next one's going to be Wile E. Coyote film enters development at Warner Brothers. This is interesting. I don't know how I feel about this. I love the fuck out of my villains, so I'm kind of on board, I think. Warner Brothers has hired John and Josh Silverman to pen an animated Wile E. Coyote feature titled Coyote vs. Acme. I think I'm fucking sold. Like, this guy should sue this company by this point. I'm not going to blame it on, you know, okay, maybe he does terrible things with their products, but I'm blaming the products, you know, like, you know, these rockets, and, you know, they shouldn't be dynamite. They maybe, you know, there's something wrong with the shit he's using, not the way he's using it. The Lego Batman movie director Chris McKay is on board as producer. So definitely fucking sign me up for that one. Yeah, fuck it. This is going to be interesting. It's going to be Superman the movie returning to theaters for 40th anniversary. You'll believe a man can fly once again when Christopher Reeve's Superman the movie returns to theaters for a limited engagement. You know what? As much as I hate Superman, I watched Smallville. I loved the fuck out of all the Christopher Reeves movies minus that terrible one. Part 3, I believe, part 4, part 3, but it's I'm down for this. Like, Christopher Reeves, I grew up on. So, yeah, I would pay to watch that in the movie theater again. I believe the first one came out in, like, the 80s. That's 80? 81, 82, around there. So, yeah, I'm totally down for that. So, yeah, it's going to happen. That's all I got for now. I'm not going to hit anything else because my reviews are going to be long. I was hoping this would be a short show, but you guys know me. I'm kind of a talker. Okay, so the two comics I'm going to review this week are going to be Marvel Comics titles. I haven't hit Marvel in depth in a while, so Extermination, number one. The writer is going to be Ed Brisson. The artist is going to be Pepe Larraz, and Marta Gracia is going to be the inker. This is going to sound convoluted at first. These characters you guys will know, and it'll make sense when I end it and premise it off. Like, it starts off right away with the Xavier Institute in Central Park, New York, 20 years from now, where we see a bunch of mutants dead on the ground, and the building is on fire. We now see a cloaked man coming across different X-Men dead. And so he sees Cyclops, old school. We're trying to figure out which Cyclops. Because Cyclops is dead right now. We see old school Beast. We see Colossus. We see Storm, Kitty Pryde, Iceman. All dead. And he says, none of this is right. That old bastard screwed this all up, leaving me to clean up this mess. And as he teleports out, that's how the scene ends. Next, it goes into the story of the five youngster original X-Men. Again, it's going to sound convoluted, but okay, let me just jump back there real quick. So our current time Beast thought that they've became such terrible people. So Cyclops, Jean Grey, Beast himself, Iceman, Archangel, or Angel have experienced so much bullshit in their lives that he thought, okay, let me build a time machine. Let me bring back the five original us, and so we can see how pure we were and how strong, how much faith we had in our causes and our beliefs and our ideals. So maybe it'll snap a spark in us to, fuck me, when did I lose sight of things? Type of deal. So that's pretty much what it is. So it goes to these kids that are living in our world right now with their counterparts to top things up. So very cool. Jumps into present day where we see an anti-mutant rally going on in Chicago, Illinois, where we see like two frightened kids speaking in French, hiding from a bunch of people. Again, they're in an anti-mutant rally. But as soon as they're found, you know, the X-Men arrive. So it looks like they're going to get their asses kicked. They're like fucking 5-6-year-old kids. Then they take them to the Institute. Then on some downtime, we see a young Scott and a young Storm on a date. So this Storm's from a different world reality. Or world timeline, I guess. Because she's called Bloodstorm, so she's a vampire. I know, like I said, convoluted. They happen to be on a date, though, where they discuss some interesting things. And it's pretty much like, I really need to get back home soon. Bloodstorm, like, I have to bounce, and I don't want to get too attached to you. So we're going to have to say goodbye soon. And it's really cool, the interaction they have. It's like, well, I'm having a great time with you right now. Can we just enjoy right now while I have you? So kind of cool. But as this happens, we see something really dope happen. And this place, this restaurant they're at, something goes down and an old character comes up. He comes into play and the action just picks up. That's Ahab, an old character. He's like a time traveler, time jumper as well. And something goes down with this battle sequence, this fight, and Bloodstorm takes a spear for young Cyclops. So she literally puts herself on the line. So now the rest of the team is called in for a code blue, and we see like young Bobby Drake, young Iceman, on his way after the attack. And then he starts getting attacked by a cloaked man now. And he's just getting jacked up by this guy. So then it's dope to see like an old friend pop up to help out young Iceman. And it's Cable. Current Cable, where he orders Bobby back to the mansion, like, it's important you get back. The future depends on it. Then as we've seen the younger crew arrive one by one to the Institute, we see Rachel Summers finally explains who the man is, Ahab. And it's just an old villain of the X-Men and X-Factor, and he's been so many titles, but he's so old school. And I could have gone a deep dive, but I'm going to go somewhere different with this, and I hope you guys appreciate it. So now it goes back to the pages of Cable and Young Bobby, where they're on the fucking ropes, and Young Iceman decides, like, no, dude, we stick together. And they're just getting their asses kicked by this cloaked man still. He's like, you're too slow, old man. This is your fault, Cable. Everything that happens now is because you neglected to do your duty. So there's a scuffle now, and as Cable responds, they needed them to see, become, because so that they could go back with that knowledge and be better. So we could do it better. It was a risk worth taking. And now it's this Cable fighting this cloak guy. As the finale of the fight just gets, like, gnarly. You see something really nuts happen. And just sad to see, honestly, more so than the prior death of Bloodstorm. And just really sad now as Kurt and older Jean arrive. So Nightcrawler and Jean Grey, older Jean Grey, arrived. I'm going to explain that real quick, just the way it ends. Like, I don't want to spoil anything for you. And I know most of these reviews are spoilers, but I don't want to do that to you guys. So I'm going to jump into the second comic. But again, it's just Jean Grey is essentially Cable's mom. Cyclops is his dad. So as young Cyclops gets there, and old Jean Grey, it's like, I heard you scream, Bobby, like we were in a submarine in the Antarctic and we had to rush her because, and she's essentially sees her boy now. And we see young Jean, her reaction, young Scott's reaction. They're still young kids. They're like 16, 17. But for being into the future, their future now, sounds like Arj and I, being their future now, they know, like, we have a kid, or essentially Madeline Pryor, which is a clone of Jean Grey. Again, convoluted, guys. Now I'm going to jump into Extermination number 2. Ed Burson still, Pepper Larraz, Marte Gracia. Starts off in New Jersey now, where a man is called out while shopping in a supermarket. His name is Calvin Rankin. Calvin Rankin? Yes. Your services are required. Then jumps into pages of young Scott and young Jean, where she doesn't want to leave him alone. So this issue just deals now with, like, the aftermath of what just happened. And it's really cool to see she doesn't want to leave him. And Scott, young Scott, he's like, Jean, this is what we've been fighting against since forever. And now we're here in the future where we should have already made a difference. And nothing's changed. We're still fighting. But now, I always love this about the X-Men. The call to arms, I guess, they're getting all the X-Crews together to avenge their friends. So, the old members of New Mutants of that become X-Force. Not the terrible Deadpool X-Force, but just X-Force. The old crew of X-Men, classic and old and young and new X-Men, is just dope. To see, like, okay, they took out one of our boys, so we're going to avenge our friend. We're going to avenge our family. And just hope to see the members of X-Force again. After so long, to see the X-Force, Warpath, Cannonball, Boom Boom, Shatterstar, Richter, along with, like, newer of their members, Caliban and Domino, where they just look pissed and they're ready to get to fucking work. And I love that. They are the fucking Twisted X team. So now it's essentially them all trying to figure out the best course of action, where Kitty comes up with an idea. Split up into four teams, with each team guarding and protecting the final four original remaining youngster X-Men. So prior issue, the cloaked man was able to secure young Bobby Drake, young Iceman, and teleport the fuck out. So now we see young Scott just gets pissed off and he runs out of the Institute. So as he runs out, the other youngsters join him because it's like, dude, we know we got to go home soon. And it's like, yeah, but we need to help out. Like, we don't need to be babysat. We can still help them out. And it's like, no, they're doing the right thing, Scott. But as soon as they go out, they start getting attacked by the end of the prior issue. I'm going to have to spoil this, is the cloaked figure was a young Cable, a younger version of Cable. And like I said, convoluted. But he doesn't have the techno-organic virus. The left side of his body doesn't have this organic virus that he has to fight off telepathically every day, every second of his life. He's a powerful mutant. He really is. Scott and Jean, in my time, they sent their kid to the future because that was the best way to save their kid. When he finally pops up into continuity, it's like, who the fuck are you? It's like, mom, dad, it's me. And it's like, it's just beautiful. So now we see young Cable that took out older Cable. And it sounds, again, convoluted, but hopefully all this makes sense in some weird way, dude. So now we see the crew getting attacked by this young Cable. And as he's attacking, it's like, you can't be here. You've been told. You already know. And still you're here. As he body slides, now he's fucked up Angel out now. And even as Scott's like running around, he's like, I think it's Cable, but it's not. So very cool to see that. So as the X-Men finally show up now, I know, right? They were only in the Institute, like fucking in the building in front of them, and nobody thought to check up on them. I know it sounds stupid. We see Kitty now going back to her plan, but young Jean is making a choice to go with a different team. Like, it's like, all right, you're going to go with me. You're going to be on my team. We're going to protect you. She's like, no, I want to go with that fucking team. And the X-Force are like, okay, if we're going to deal with Cable or a young Cable, she's like, no, those are the Wrecking Crew. These are the asshole fucking X-Crew, which I love the fucking New Mutants and X-Force when they became X-Force. So now back to young Cable now, as we see something really fucked up, a really fucked up scene just in general. In comics, in general, it felt it was fucked up and gnarly, and it's so bad it almost felt like you'd get something of like this from an Image comics title. And we see now Archangel with his wings now, and he's shackled up, and I don't want to ruin it, but this scene is just so fucked up where we see buzzsaws and Angel can't move, and we just see young Cable drinking some fucking coffee. And we see shadows of Archangel's body. And these buzz saws literally buzz sawing his wings out of his fucking body. And it just felt so fucked up because he's gone through this, in essence, essentially before in the, what, late 80s, early 90s? And it's Cable realizing, like, young Cable realizing, like, you guys have been here too fucking long, and you can't go back with any fucked up abilities that you have, because you're going to change the timeline, you're going to fuck up my future, and you're just going to fuck up everything in general. Like, I saw the future, and you guys fucked up the world, so I'm going to send you guys back because you guys haven't done it already. That's essentially where young Cable was coming from. But again, this scene is sad to see, and this is my book of the week because I haven't hit fucking X-Men in the longest time or reviewed one in the longest time. So to feel at home again, it's like, oh my gosh, this feels comforting. This is my fucking blanket, and I'll definitely explain that right now. So after this scene happens, fucked up, it jumps back now to the Institute, where now everyone there gets attacked by Ahab and his crew of hounds, and it's really cool. They just start getting attacked. That's how that one ends. Let me go back into this real quick. The X-Men just in general. I'm going to tell you why the fuck I love them. The X-Men, they're mutants. As a kid, they were mutants. They are mutants. They were different. They were born different. They were born with this fucking an X gene, and that made them different. It gave them abilities. They were able to do shit, granted, or look weird to people. They weren't necessarily a team, quote unquote, I guess, like the Avengers. Like they, we always have to do good, but they always had this more familial tied and feel to them that I always gravitated towards more to as a kid, honestly, more than anything. They were characters who honestly faced prejudice on a daily basis because they were different, and the X-Men were created honestly to combat racism, diversity, bigotry, anti-mutant bigotry. I mean, that's essentially why they were created. Like, Nightcrawler looks like a devil, and he's so religious, and just because he looks gnarly, people are unaccepting of it. Colossus, when he's metaled out, Toad looks gnarly, Caliban looks gnarly. And then it goes into, like, if we're going to go deeper than that, let's talk about slave labor camps. Let's talk about concentration camps. Let's talk about genocide. And that's how you create a character like Magneto, that where his whole thing, his whole ideal is never again. He's already survived this once in his life. He survived the Nazi concentration camps. So to see why he's fucked up, and I don't think he's wrong. Magneto is right. Like, I'm a fighter for that. Like, their quote-unquote thing is always, in a world that fears and hates them, they always chose to be fucking better. It was, in essence, like, the X-Men were the call to arms to, I said it again, against bigotry and the prejudice in our fucking world. A comic about just fucking these badass, dope, sick, wonderful characters with yet these scary abilities at times, and people wanting to attack them and stamp them out just because they don't know how to deal with different. And now more than ever, it's kind of a beautiful thing if you guys look at it. Like, look at everything that's going on in the world today. Like, things should have gotten better. And the fact that even being able to read something like the X-Men as a kid and to be like, that's not right. That's not right. People shouldn't treat people like that. It is fucking cool. So that this feels like that classic vibe to me again is just, in one word, fucking beautiful to me. So I never quite felt like I fit in as a kid, and I kind of did feel a little different growing up. I mean, honestly, like, look at yourselves in the mirror. Tell me you fucking didn't. Like, you know, don't we all at some point just feel a little bit fucking different? And they kind of gave me a voice when I never thought I would ever fucking have one. Like, just confidence, and like, they were just fucking so interesting to me because they were fucking different. Like, growing up different, a different nationality, if you have an accent, if you have a different culture or background, and even now, it isn't a fucking bad thing. They were fucking these misfits because they were different. And I loved and still love the fuck out of them for that. So again, the Avengers are dope. Again, the X-Men were more about all these issues that are still going on today's fucking world. So to go back into something new that's going on right now, current, this is barely first two issues I've read. It's going on right now. It's going to be a 6-issue arc. It's dope, guys. And if you guys pick these up, if you guys want me to send you where they're at, it's dope. It's beautiful. It's fucked up. And hopefully you're going to start caring about characters you never thought you would care about. And then that just heart-wrenching moment in the first issue, more people need to read and see it on paper and see it in their hands and see it on your digital fucking devices, is fucking beautiful, and it pulls at the heartstrings. And so, yeah, those are my books of the weekend. Sorry for deep diving why the fuck I love the X-Men. And again, to feel that old feeling again, I love the fuck out of. So, yeah, that's my book of the week, and I love the fuck out of those. Sorry for everything today, guys. Sorry about the editing shit, not cutting that out. But I hope it was a good episode for you guys. Find me at For the Villain on Twitter, at @comic_syndicate on Instagram. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Rate us, but please share the podcast more than anything. I know you guys are, and I do see it. And that's all I have. I will be back next week, running and gunning. Thanks again. Much love to all you guys. Peace out.